Our streets are changing sometimes by the week. New designs, cafe culture, wheelie bins, you name it, our streets seem to have it. But what difficulties do these changes present if you are, say, blind or partially sighted? Now, we are going to be looking at a new campaign from RNIB Scotland called Street Cred. I've got Kirsty from RNIB with us. So our streets are, I suppose, getting a lot busier, Kirsty. Is that what you're hearing from members and blind and partially sighted people in general?
Yeah, they're getting busier. There's also a proliferation of changes taking place right across cities, towns and villages. As there's more moves to get people out their cars and cycling and walking and using public transport, it's the kind of pace and scale of these changes that are concerning us. A lot of the changes don't necessarily have accessibility at their heart, and as a result we've been hearing from people right across Scotland, including Sylvia, about how this is impacting on just their day-to-day lives in terms of being able to get about where they live, get to local services, get to appointments, whatever it is they're doing. The Street Credibility outlines some recommendations about what we would like to see, and essentially we're just asking for three key principles for anyone who's involved in planning the street environment to recognise and enforce and monitor while they're making changes to our streets. And the first one's reducing the hazard of cluttered pavements and the sprawl of street clutter. The other one is the importance of having curbs and signal controlled crossings. And the third one is avoiding moving vehicles. But unfortunately, there are certain design elements that are emerging in streets. Moves to flatten curbs, do away with signal control crossing points that are concerning us, because basically the impact on the safety of people being able to get about.
I suppose as well, you know, we talk about shared spaces with other vehicles, even, you know, a lot of paths now are having cycle lanes on them as well. If that demarcation is gone, that creates a huge problem if you can't see those. So you're looking really for the designers really to consult better. I mean, you're not asking to reinvent the wheel here.
Exactly. The Street Credibility Resource Report, as it is, can be used by anyone. So it's written in plain English. It's got a number of quotes from blind and partially sighted people throughout Scotland on what the impacts of some of the changes have been on them.
Now, we have Sylvia with us, who is from Edinburgh. Sylvia, you are a guide dog owner. What kind of things are you coming across then that are impacting your confidence and your independent mobility?
There's a lot of street clutter now, particularly post-pandemic. There's a culture of having cafes using outside seating a lot more than they did before. Where pavements can be narrow, that causes a huge problem, because there can also be other things on the pavement like bus stops, lampposts, letterboxes. Sometimes shops have their fruit and vegetables displayed outside, etc. So by having all that on the street, it makes it really difficult to navigate. The dogs are looking for ways through bollards that have been put up on the roads for cyclists to use through the pandemic and haven't been removed. Adds to that difficulty because the dogs don't know what the purpose of those bollards are, so they can be a bit confusing for the dogs. And by finding them with a white cane and you don't know what they are, then that can also be really confusing. The A-boards are not such a big issue as they used to be, but they are still there, and that just adds to the clutter round about Edinburgh particularly. But I think in other places where streets and footpaths are really narrow, I was in a place called Macduff along the northeast coast last week, and the street pavements are very narrow there, and any street clutter at all means that the dogs in particular have to think about other ways of getting past that, and that inevitably means off curb and onto the road until we get past the obstacle and back up on the narrow pavement. And that's really quite disconcerting where there are busy roads, and it can be really quite frightening as well.
Do you come across any areas where you're almost sharing the pavement then with a cycle path or any other sort of shared surfaces where you're almost sharing, or you are sharing with motorised vehicles. You know, we talked about the crossings as well, but do you come across these where the demarcations have gone?
There's very little demarcation, in particular where there are new road designs here in Edinburgh where they've put in tram lines and the curbs are very flat. There's no barriers. The controlled crossing post, where the button would be, is sometimes not where you expect it to be because the demarcation for the curb and for the roadway itself, for the, you know, for the moving traffic, the cars and the lorries and the buses, isn't necessarily at the side where the cycle path is. And so it's quite difficult to actually find that. And again, because there's no demarcation of the curb, the dogs don't recognise that they need to stop there. They just see it as part of the pavement. And that's really dangerous. Yeah, it's very, very frightening.
What does it do to your independence or to your confidence? What does it do if you're thinking about going somewhere? Does it add a lot of pressure to you? It sounds as if, from what you're saying, almost every step sometimes is, well, what's coming up next?
I think it does lower your confidence, and sometimes I will think twice about a route that I take and maybe try and find a different route that won't cause me that kind of stress. But that might mean that I have to walk quite considerable distance to get to where I'm going. Is it safer to do it this way than that way? And yeah, that lowers your confidence, but it also has an impact on your independence and the ability to actually want to go out and want to go from one place to another. It makes you think, am I going to be safe? Is my dog going to be safe without coming across a hazard?
Kirsty, I'm sure Sylvia echoes a lot of what you've been hearing from people as well. So the report has been produced. How do you make sure that just doesn't end up on someone's shelf gathering dust? How do you sort of take that report forward and try to get planners or councils to use this and take notice?
We do want it to be usable, and it is published at a time where there's a lot of change happening. One way, I suppose, looking at the kind of top level is MSPs. There's work required at a national level around national guidance. I suppose coming down to a local level, it's local people, local blind, partially sighted people. If there's things, plans or developments taking place in their area or things that are being proposed in their area that they feel are reducing their independence and are making it more difficult for them to go about their day-to-day lives, they can use the report, they can send the report to, for example, their local elected representatives. We also hope designers, urban planners, we get a lot of requests, nearly, you know, every week at least, from different places across Scotland asking for our feedback onto consultations and design proposals. As I said before, we're not designers, we're not engineers, but what we're saying is if plans and designs take into account these three key areas that we've recommended, then actually they'll get it right first time. And embedding it accessibility from the outset, it's more beneficial to everybody than later on down the process, things happening and then having to retrofit a whole lot of changes and find funding for changes that aren't accessible. If people get it right from the start, then it saves a whole lot of stress. It also saves probably a whole lot of money as well.
Kirsty, the report is available now for people to have a look at, and I'm sure you're also looking for feedback as well. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
You can go onto the RNIB website, search for Scotland, you'll find a link within our campaigns page to Street Credibility. They can also get in touch with RNIB Scotland, our email address, rnibscotland@rnib.org.uk. Also, if people are on social media, check out hashtag street, capital S, cred, capital C, if they want to help kind of spread awareness.
And let's hope people do take a look at the report and indeed feedback as well on their experiences. But for the moment, to Kirsty and Sylvia, thank you very much for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.